You sure
Okay.
did.
Welcome, everybody, I guess. We're waiting for the... Okay, I don't like the helicopters. How about the dragons? Can we have Wynn and Terry... dragons?
Oh, yeah.
Or do we like that? Dragon power.
Who else didn't announce himself?
Oh, yes. Who else is here? Hello, welcome to the call. Who's out there?
Oh, hi. It's Susan in Maryland with a guest.
And Maryland, a guest?
I'm in Maryland, the state of Maryland. My name is Susan.
Oh.
I'm here with a friend named Mark.
Susan, did you say you were looking for a place to live and you found it?
Yeah, I found one.
All right, congratulations.
Hi, how are you? It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Who else
came
in
today?
You're
the greeter? You're the Walmart greeter tonight?
I guess so, unless you want to take over for a while.
No, thank you.
Well, thanks.
You're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, thanks. Who else is coming in today? Welcome.
Hi there, this is Terry in Sedona.
Terry, did you arrive on your dragon?
Did I what?
Arrive on your dragon.
I don't ride dragons.
Oh, well, see, I didn't like helicopters because Heish used to say the hovering helicopter, right? And I thought,
yeah.
Well, dragons are a little more organic, okay? And, you know, they help eat some of the leftover vegetation that the humans don't eat. And we use fertilizer.
Horse. I like horses.
Okay, you're coming in on your horse.
Is it a unicorn?
Oh, unicorn. Great.
Unicorn's even better.
Which one?
Lion.
Lion. Oh.
Flying on your unicorn.
Yeah, I like that.
Flying on your unicorn. Oh, got it. Flying unicorn. Welcome, everybody. Anyone want to announce themselves?
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
This is May from Concord.
Hi, May.
Rick from Iowa City.
Who?
Rick from Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Welcome.
Hi.
Anyone else?
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We're all welcome here.
Marisa from Riverside County.
Marisa, that's the one that on Sunday we were having a hard time with. Marisa, right?
Marisa.
Got
yeah.
it. Who else is here?
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
You say Deb?
Hey.
Thank you, Deb. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Okay, who's working on the dishes? Is that Terry?
Hey, Terry, where were you and Wynn on Monday?
Oh, yeah, where were you guys on Monday?
I think Marilyn did the call on Monday, right?
Yes, she did. It was wonderful.
Oh, great. Okay.
But we thought that you were going to channel, well, you know, Wynn was saying on Sunday, but we didn't know if you were sick or something.
No, we weren't sick, but we decided that we shouldn't do it that quick.
My fault. I forgot. We had scheduled a fourth Monday for Marilyn to do something so I can have a night off. And I forgot that that was the fourth Monday. Okay. And
welcome, Wendy.
Pardon me?
Welcome to the line. It's nice to hear your voice.
Who is that?
This is May from Concord. I don't know where Heiss is or anybody else that normally greets.
Oh, my God.
It's all my bra on, I think.
That's unusual.
Yeah, he wasn't here on Monday either.
Well, on Monday he gave it to someone else. I mean, he's usually assigned it. I'll check.
Pauline was there.
Yeah, I'll check with him and see what happens.
As long as he's okay.
As far as I know, nothing is okay.
It's okay and nothing's okay.
You're the boss. Whatever you say is fine.
Winfrey, it's Carolyn, and I'm happy to be back in the States so I can be on. I was on the Monday night, and I'm on the Sunday, too. I can do that now that I'm back in the States.
Oh, great, wonderful. Carolyn. This is Marilyn in Flagstaff. I want to get in contact with you.
Well, hi. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you're back.
Me, too, and I'm glad I'm finally healthy.
All right.
Who's that?
Carolyn.
This?
Carolyn in Uganda?
No, I'm in the States now. I'm back.
Oh, okay. Welcome back. Hey, did you get my email? Did you get my email?
I just got Comcast today. I've been out of touch for 2 weeks, and I opened up my email, and there were 1,400 of them.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
And so I'm trying to work my way through, and I'll come to it eventually, but not yet. I haven't yet. So you can tell me if there's a message.
Well, there was a guy that was doing this remote healing that was particularly wanting to do it in Africa, and he's having success with it. Okay.
I'd like to know that.
Yeah. So I know him, and I was suggesting to hook you up to see what you thought. You know?
I think it's a great idea. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done because the medical is not very good. And, you know, they kill people. It was a miracle that I got when I was in the hospital that I survived the hospital because they kill people.
Do they have an FDA there?
No, they don't do that.
You should take an ozone machine and just give everybody ozonated water all day.
Yeah.
If you won't get stuck in jail for doing it, you know?
Well, I got my wand, and I think it's working on me already.
Wow.
And I want to get another one so I can take it back with me.
Yeah. But
I'll
leave
one here and take one with me.
Get an ozone machine and take it with you, because I'll if it really works and people are loving it, we'll send something.
I just
we'll
got
do a
one.
We'll do a collection for it, yeah.
I just got an ozone machine.
Who is that?
Oh, good for you.
This is Marisa from Riverside County.
Yeah.
He told me to get one for my clients for a massage,
and I
got it, and I love it. But I don't know what kind of water to use, distilled or just regular water or alkaline water. They don't really indicate.
I would use filtered water. But
okay,
if you use filtered water. If you use regular water, it does have, it's not the same as a filter, a reverse osmosis filter.
Right.
But it
does
combine with a lot of stuff in it and take a lot of stuff out. Like,
well, my dad
makes
alkaline too. We have alkaline water as well.
You can use alkaline. It really doesn't matter because it just adds the ozone to the water. And have you noticed anything in drinking it?
Yeah, I feel good. My husband had a pain on his wrist yesterday, and I suctioned it out.
Also,
you know the little inserts? Do you have to replace them every so often? Do they go bad?
Which things are those?
The thing goes in the water, the little stone things.
If they go bad, you can get one at a fish tank place, okay? We have some extras, but you can, they sometimes will clog up over a long period of time, and the ozone will flow more slowly out of it, or they can break if you drop them, because it's kind of like a...
Right.
Silicon substance, you know?
But, okay, I don't know if you're supposed to, but I tried it on a glass of wine, and oh my word, it was great. It was like the best high in the world. It was awesome. My mom's like, what'd you do to this wine? Why does it taste so good, and why do I feel so good? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, man, it was great. You guys got to try it. I don't know about beer, but...
We're going to have to try it. I never tried it. Never read anything about it.
Yeah, try it. I know, me neither. Yeah. I go, I'm just going to try it and see what happens. And then I did, and it was great. It's like, wow.
Lynn,
Lynn,
can I tell you something? Before Uncle Terry died, I asked him about reading his book to groups of people in Uganda, and he said,
Absolutely.
So I did.
Wow.
And I've got one group that's, we're almost halfway through and had to stop because I was coming back, but they want to continue meeting when I get back, and I'm going to start the second group. So I'll have two groups reading that book. And the response of people there is wonderful. And the first time we read for over an hour, so we got quite far, and this one young man said, "This is what they mean when they say, 'You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free,' because this is the truth." And I almost started crying. It was so nice to have somebody recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, I got your email that Uncle Terry had passed over. And and before I left, I said, "Terry, if you're still here, is it okay if I come and see you this summer?" And he said, in his strong voice, "Absolutely." I'm going to see him. And I hope that there'll be some more channeling of Uncle Terry.
Maybe we did get him for a brief sentence, you know?
Ooh.
And maybe he'll come in and talk to us, okay?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'd like him. Who knows? I'd like him to know that because he approved of my reading the book to people in there. And I want him to know that I'm doing it, and it's wonderful.
Were you on the Sunday call?
Yes.
I mean, I thought that was an amazing call. I mean, to me, they don't usually like to say stuff like that. You have to, it's like pulling teeth to get that out of them, okay? Because they don't want to screw up the paradigm in this realm, do you know?
Right.
And we're not trying to take over Jesus or, you know, but some people could perceive that as that in the wrong, if it was put out in the wrong way. If I suddenly started advertising with big headlines, "The Ra Group is the Christ Consciousness, and we're talking to them on Wednesday nights," that would get me in big doo-doo. Trouble.
They are not the Christ Consciousness. The Christ Consciousness is the Christ Consciousness. They are just bringing it through and polarizing it.
They've created... We're going to ask more questions about this for the insiders here. But, you know, they're creating it. It's kind of like you make a swimming pool and invite everyone in the block to come over, okay? But you made the swimming... Yeah. Yeah, you made the swimming pool, but you're not the swimming pool. But I got a feeling that because it's consciousness, they're maintaining it. You know, it takes a certain maintenance to keep the energy, like anything.
To keep it pure.
Well, I can't answer any more questions than that, but we might do it on Monday, okay? Here's another bit of tidbit, okay? We have, should I start the recording? What can I say? Should I start the recording? You know, you guys don't even need a greeter anymore.
Well, no, we do need a greeter.
Well, maybe Hyde is getting tired of it. Who knows? Because he never, usually, this is the first time he's ever missed it, you know? There is the place where you're creating something. Because we are... Okay. Now, wait a second. I'm going to start the recorder. This sounds like it might be good. Okay. Morgan, are you there? Hello, Morgan. Are you muted? Morgan?
Morgan?
I'm not going to talk about Hillary. Okay. Well, let's see now.
Now you're echoing.
Morgan, does that mean you're here? I'm echoing?
Yes, you're
here.
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to say hello.
Hello. Okay. Hi to everyone.
Okay, here we go. Muting everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is June 29th, 2016. All of us, wherever we are, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and we were just having a little conversation before the call started about what we were talking about on Sunday, and it was really somewhat I kind of intuited it, because we know the Ra group, or I have already made my own assessment that the Ra group, hang on a second, let me mute calls. That there's something that people refer to as the Christ consciousness. Some people refer to it as the Christ grid. And there's this mysterious energy that people tune into that makes them feel loved, makes them feel part of a family. And I have noticed that energy amongst certain religious groups that really seem to get it. I particularly think of Hispanic people. Doesn't mean all Hispanic people, but lots of Hispanic people that are, some of them can be simple, not sophisticated, but they have the ability to accept where they're at in life. They don't feel competitive. They feel loving. They have really loving relationships with their wife and their children. And a good portion of those people are Catholics. So somehow they have integrated that energy on a human level. And they don't have to be sophisticated to do it. They don't have to understand all the metaphysical concepts. And I have made the connection in previous calls about how there was a connection between the Ra group and Jesus. And my first tip-off to that was a channeling through David Wilcock where they made the comment, we came to you in Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. But that doesn't mean, they didn't say they didn't work with Christianity. It is that we don't, in current time, they don't speak in those terms. But there was a session that we did last week, private session, where I'd asked some questions. I think I started a question about what is the Christ consciousness? And the answer was that it was a matrix, I guess you could call it. I don't know if they use the word matrix, but it was an energetic construct in a higher dimension that the Ra group had was responsible for, created. Now, it's beyond our understanding to comprehend how that works, although we'll try to find out. It's like, how do you create energy constructs? In a certain sense, we do this on our calls. We have created, and maybe what we do is part of that grid. It extends into the call. We have created an ongoing energy that's, you really can't explain it. You can't understand it. Doesn't make sense that it's holding. And many of you on this call feel it. And it's making you feel loved. It's making me feel loved. It's making us love each other. And it's like a pioneering effort because we are creating it. And, you know, I am just a witness to all of this. I'm just a very, how would you say it, inquisitive witness. I'm always asking.
Are you still there, Wen? Are you still there, Wen? Are you muted, Wen?
He's still talking, but we can't hear him.
Right, yeah.
I don't think he hears you either.
Here we go. Hang on. What's going on here?
We couldn't hear you.
Wait a second. My headset turned off, okay? Now that's serious. My headset. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My headset just turned off, and I shouldn't have done that. They probably don't want me talking about this. It's a mysterious energy. You know, here we are, we're humans, and we're interfacing with all these invisible realms, and we're getting pretty good evidence that those realms are real, and we're all learning how to better interface with them, and it's not that hard. You just have to, let's see, can you hear me now, Terry?
Yeah.
If you stop hearing me, well, I'll probably notice, but I don't know why my Bluetooth turned off.
I can hear you fine now.
Yeah. So, we were going to do a call on Monday and explore it. And I'm keeping talking about it because I want to keep the idea hot. I want to keep it in the ethers. So, maybe something we'll do next Monday. Or maybe we'll even do it Sunday. We never do a session on Sunday. But that's the call where that energy has been the most prevalent. And who knows? We'll see. In any case, we do have questions for today. And and we have some exciting things about to happen, which I'll just leave you guessing about. But I think, as most of you know, there's no resting on one's laurels in this work, at least for me, because wherever you get to, you've got to, it just becomes a new platform to go further. And that's the way the universe expands. Enlightenment is not like, oh my God, I have got consciousness. Isn't that wonderful? It's an ongoing flow. And staying in the flow of the universe. And I certainly have that challenge all the time. Okay? So let me see here. We've got another question here. Let me just log it in. And Amanda in Los Angeles asked us to send her some love. Someday, Amanda is going to come into a one of our calls. She's a great singer and songwriter in L.A., and I'm going to play one of her calls. And Amanda, you just have to tell me you're ready, and we'll do it, okay? I haven't forgotten that, okay? If you're feeling more comfortable. So, none of us are ready. We can fall in the light. Let me just see if we got any more questions before. Terry, anything you want to say? Anything?
No, I'm crossing over to the other side right now.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everybody here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Thank you.
Yes. This is Fa'an, and we are a combination of the Elohim group, part of the Elohim group, and part of the Ra group. And if we, in answer or assistance to your questions, we say anything that does not resonate with you, then discard it, as it is not for you at this time. We are pleased to be with you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Okay. This is from Rick Vonbrook in Iowa City, Iowa. And recently, I was chatting with a friend on Facebook, and it was a very friendly chat until they suddenly accused me of things I never did. It got too crazy, and I couldn't chat anymore with them. Being somewhat of an empath, I felt their misery, although it wasn't mine. The whole next day, I felt their misery the whole next day, and decided to offer that negative energy or feeling up to the higher realms to be transmuted. It worked for me, but I wondered, did I help them, if any, with the problem they were happening? And the greater question is, when we transmute the negative energy of others that they push on us, does it help them when we send their negative energy to the higher realms to clear it in ourselves without them even knowing it?
Thank you for your question. This is a very good question. If you send it to the higher realms for transmuting, that is very helpful in that you do not further contribute to the negative energy or resonate with it or echo it in its overtones, and they sit with the original creation and are continuing to create it. However, that is based upon their own situation, their own misunderstandings, their own distortions from misreading things based upon things that have happened to them, and they are not reading things correctly or in present time. They tend in this situation to read them in a past scenario that is no longer applicable and does not even involve you. It does help that you do not contribute to farther frequencies and disruptions and distortions from their energy. It is a lesson that they need to work their way through, because if it is not working in the present moment, then it will not work in the future, because it isn't a correct reading of the energies present at the time. That is our answer.
Thank you. Somebody once said, a teacher of mine, that when you can hold your energy in a neutral space and somebody is aiming negativity towards you, and that there's no place for it to land because there's no receptacle for it, that it bounces off of you and goes back to them. Is that true?
If you take it to the higher realms of light for transmuting, it can merely go off into the ethers and dead end, rather than having it sent back to the people that are creating it.
I see. Okay, thank you. Next question. This is from Bonnie in Corona. And she asks about the consciousness of plants. I guess the consciousness of plants are somewhat of a mystery. We can't look in their eyes. We can't see their souls. She says people laugh about bananas having feelings, and we hear them talking to you, hear about them talking to their houseplants. As for me, I find myself gratefully apologizing when picking fruit or trimming trees. Could you explain more about the consciousness of plants and ways to tune in and be more aware?
Thank you. When one gets very, very sensitive, they can begin to talk to their plants. Before that, they talk to their plants, and their plants really like it. Their plants really get it. Their plants, if it is a loving communication, their plants tend to grow better. Apologizing to the plants before trimming can also help with the plant actually bridging over to accept the trimming better. Plants are very intelligent, and they have the ability to tune in to the people around them and their surroundings. There is a book that talks about it to some degree, The Secret Life of Plants.
That's a very good book. You know, Terry, at one time, years and years and years ago, she attached what would be like a lie detector to a plant leaf, and somehow she got the plant to give her the winning number on the lottery, but she didn't play it. Could you explain that? If you want to.
The plant really loved Jerry because Jerry saved its life. It was abandoned, and Jerry saved its life. So it had the ability to tune in to universal things and to respond to the question with a response that gave the lottery numbers. However, the Terry did not play the lottery. She simply ran and got the numbers. This does not always work because the numbers are not always preordained.
Thank you. Do plants get bored?
They have a whole different mechanism for consciousness. They don't get bored the same way as humans, as they tend to make a community of what is around them. If they're outside, they make a community with the grass and the rocks, and they make a community with each leaf. And so this is not boring to them. Little gentle breezes, sunshine, water can all spark their interest. Little creatures crawling by, they do not have the same capacity for boredom that humans could have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And do the spirits of plants reincarnate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So if you burn down the forest, you may have the plant energies coming back and becoming new plants.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My name is Aaron, and I wanted to know my true purpose in this life. I'm Aaron in Columbus, Ohio. And let me just make a comment here. My sources are going to answer this however they answer it. But there's certain questions that if they were answered too linearly, it would be like somebody was telling you what you were supposed to do or why you were here. And in essence, from at least from my experience, one has to create their own reason for being. And one creates a reason for being by being of value to other people. And you can do it formally, like you can be a chiropractor or a healer and have a shingle on your door, or you can do it just in your day-to-day life, and it doesn't matter, because when you are able to be of value to other people, you're of value to yourself, and suddenly your purpose becomes clear. But that's my comment. I'll turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. You we feel at this point going through an awakening or looking at your life and attempting to get in sync with your real feelings. We take a moment and we see that there are times when the job you are doing tends to not preoccupy you, but tends to you look to another place and think that maybe that would be better, that would be more fun, that would take advantage of your abilities better. You would be able to be more creative. Keep on observing yourself and your response to what you do. You are capable of doing different things and even to be happy doing certain different things. As long as you put your own creativity, your own impetus into it and aren't just going along to go along, if you are able to have that spark, that expression in the day-to-day work that you are doing, there's more than one thing that you can do. Perhaps the answer to your question would be to do what you yourself can participate in with your interest and your caring and your love and your enthusiasm and your creativity, and feel that you are giving something of your own self to the work you are producing and the effect you are having on others.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a good answer. Question from Margaret in New Zealand. Hi, Margaret. We love you. I do love this woman, and I don't know why. I can feel her. I haven't even seen a picture of her. But there's a clear reflection back of love. You know, this is a really good indication of a spiritual relationship, that when you think of getting to know somebody, oftentimes you're going through all the 3D things of like, well, what are you doing? How do you do it? And whatever. And in a sense, there is this essence that people project. And when you really know somebody, you feel their essence. And you can feel it, and it goes back to them, and it's complete in the moment. And that's my mark of when you really have the best interface with another human in this realm. Now, you can never do it by force. You can, you know, it's like people just show up and they are that, okay? Here is Margaret. Sorry to talk about you so much, Margaret, but it's all good. I have a I asked about a hunter spider, a small, cute, jumping, non-web-making spider, but with web solutions to make a rope to lower and swing itself. That's not a larger hunter spider. And what its evolution will take to be in the very long run. And Ra'an immediately started speaking about service to self humans being in hunter spiders as a type of self-judgment or such like after death. Ra'an's musing threw me off completely, as what I really wanted to know was the sequence of evolution of this earth's kingdoms, and do all creatures of any kingdom eventually make it to the human kingdom via the lower ones? A small spider was on my desk, and I wove the question around its plane. Transmigration was then introduced. So my question is now, thank you. I will ask about these previous humans who are now insects or arachnids. Can they ever be human again? It sounds like a common condemnation to eternal excommunication from humanity, or even a form of hell. We are told at this point by Rahan that new human souls can sometimes come to be born in human bodies when their previous forms were beloved pets or domesticated dogs. Therefore, it seems maybe that if the service to self-humans are in small 3D forms with no self-consciousness and no self-awareness, or I am, but rather invariant massive group egos and group souls, responsive instincts, fight or flight, that they will never be humans again. Thank you. I'm trying to... do you understand the question?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah. So, go ahead. Go ahead.
It is not a punishment for the ones that end up in that situation. It is a choice of what they wish to experience. However, there is always a road back. There is always an evolution higher as the spark of God is in each of these creatures. There has been some creation of creatures using creative means of forming life, forming the life force and attempting to train it. And there's been much manipulation. There are many creatures. There are birds, and they love their life and their life of freedom. The spider you speak of loves its formation of the rope, and he loves its jumping ability. It does not even become aware that there is a higher force, but it carries on its own lifetime, experiencing joy in jumping and in swinging and in procreation. It tends to reincarnate as another hunter spider, as the one you are speaking of. It moves through its cycle of creation and life and death, and then a reincarnation to another life and death, and does experience joy in the little things that it does, and some responsibility in the creation and procreation that it carries out in the realm. These different forms of life tend to help supplement life of all on Earth and move together in a unified picture when all of them work together in their particular lifetimes. Whether they will become human or not, the majority of them do not become human, but tend to stick to their own form of life that they have become comfortable with.
Thank you. If there was a spider that had a track record of previously being human, does that track still stay with him, or is it kind of dispersed as a result of its evolutionary path?
It depends entirely upon the individual. When the individual is served in their service to self pattern, then they tend to stay in it for as long as it serves them. However, they can work their way out of it. They can even rapidly work themselves out of it, work their way into a more loving situation, a more loving relationship.
Thank you. All right. Next question from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. I recently began reading the Law of One books. In the introduction, portions of the book, book one, portions of a channeling are shared. In a rather profound concept, was presented, namely, truth without proof, although it is stated as an important function of their mission, they intentionally offer us no concrete proof. Can our sources share and expand on this necessity? You know, Jim, I was very impacted by that as well, and I thought a lot about it, and I'll just share what I've learned, is that when there is proof, you see, what is the goal? The goal is not to convince somebody's mind, you know. The goal is not to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, or yes, I believe in God, or, you know, I saw a miracle, so this is true. The goal is to expand somebody's consciousness, the hologram, into the higher realms. And what happens is proof, what seems to be proof, let's just say miracles would be a kind of proof. It causes people to just cling to that and not to reach for it. The goal is co-creation, a co-creative relationship. So making somebody curious and having them reach back is the beginning of a co-creative relationship. Offering proof does not offer any opportunity for co-creation. And now I'll turn it over to our sources, and they can tell me I'm all wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Everything is created in the now, so it may have different components than it did 5 minutes ago. There may be other energies that are coming in, and it may slightly skew the mix. So what is truth in the manifest realm? What is manifest? What is the mix of energies that are coming through that are creating the manifestation? And if you try to pin it down, it may be changing by the moment.
Thank you. And I think Cleo had a question, 655. Maybe this is a quick answer here. It's a quick question, and then we'll finish. You know, there are people that are concerned that that there's going to be some potential for a mass disaster on the planet, and that there'll be an influx of millions of souls within a short period of time if there was a huge die-off of lives due to a down power grid or some other catastrophe. Are sources prepared to handle that kind of catastrophe?
Thank you. We are standing by, and we would do what we could if such thing happened. There are reserves. It is not our normal task to work on this. It is the heavenly realm and the angels and the guardians of Earth, even the spirits that look over areas, large spirits that look over areas to help hold the energy for a particular area. There are millions of spirits that are holding things together, that are holding the energy for life, that are working to create the atmosphere, the environment where life can flourish. We do have knowledge of the angelic realm, who have many, many reserves that they can pull up to help if needed.
Mm-hmm. I do believe Fred is working with parts of the realm, okay? We can talk more about that at another time. It's 6:57. So thank you so much for being here with us and answering our questions. And thank you all for being with us and listening and asking questions. And we'll just... Gary, any closing comments?
We take a moment and we impart energy of support to each and every person on the line, and we thank you for coming in and being a part